Okay, well, the next thing we're going to, today, the next one, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30, okay? We're going to be talking about seeking the Lord in times of discouragement. Seeking the Lord in times of discouragement. Seeking the Lord in times of discouragement, okay? Quite a few verses to read. So I'm going to read the first one, then you read the second one, and so on until verse number 8, okay? 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, I'll read, then you read verse 2, and so on. Ready? Verse 1, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burnt it with fire. Verse 2. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken. Verse 4. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Verse 6.
And David was greatly distressed, but he was afraid of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was free, every man for his sons and for his sons, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his counsel.
Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Verse 8. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will speak to us using the life of David when he faced great encouragement, discouragement, what he did. And Father, may we learn from David. And even as we pray, Lord, our hearts may be encouraged to seek your face when we are discouraged or trials. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm hoping that no one is in the state of discouragement now, okay? But this one is useful as a picture of what we need to do when we are discouraged, okay? I just want to highlight what David was going through. Number one, David was on the run. You know what's meaning by on the run? Meaning, David was on the run because King Saul wanted to kill him. Okay, King Saul wanted to kill him. So David had to run away. Right? He had a group of men who were very loyal to him. And what he, in 1 Samuel, the earlier chapters, what he wanted to do was he wanted to be with the Philistines. Okay? Because if King Saul didn't want me, so well, I would just fight with the Philistines. But when the king welcomed David, but when the people saw, hey, this guy was the one who destroyed our hero, how can we have him fight? What if he go and fight Israel? Then David from the behind will kill us, and then he make right with the king of Israel, Saul. Okay? So does it make sense? Do you understand what's happening? So King David, or rather David is not king yet, He was wanting to be killed by Saul. Okay, King Saul is going to kill David. So David ran away. He formed his own army. Okay, there was a group of men who was loyal to him. And then the Philistines wanted to fight Israel. David said, I'm going to help you to fight Israel. And then the Philistines said, No. If you help me to fight, maybe you from behind, you kill me how? When I fight. Does that make sense? And so David was asked to leave. You know the sad part, when David went to join the Philistines to fight with the Philistines against Israel, he left their wives and their daughters and their sons behind. What happened was, the Amalekites invaded this group of their families when David and his men is not around. It's kind of like, let's say the husband goes out to work, then after come back and see, in America, sometimes you find this, when the husband goes out to work, then come back, the wife and the daughters were all killed, or sons were killed because a robber came in. Okay? And so David faced great encouragement because you look at verse 1, they came to Ziklag, where David and the family was, but David wasn't there, it's only the families. But when they came, Amalekites have actually destroyed the whole city. Not only that, verse 2, he taken the woman captives, and with the children, both big and small. So everyone was taken away. Everyone was taken away. So when David and his men came, verse 3, you know, he saw the city was burned, everything. Basically, everything was gone. What they possessed, the place they live in, even their own loved ones were gone. Was taken away captive. Alright? And Bible says in verse 4, the David was so discouraged, what happened to them? And the people, they cried until they had no strength to cry anymore. It's kind of like, I don't know about you, sometimes you may watch shows or when people are so discouraged, those distressed, certain things happen to them that they kind of just sit there and stare into space. They just don't know what to think anymore. They cannot cope anymore. The Bible says here, they cried and cried and cried until they have no more strength to cry. Not only that, in verse 6, notice another discouragement. The people wanted to kill David. These were the people who said, David will be loyal to you. But you know, sometimes when things happen to us, okay, this is very true in our own human experience. When things happen to us so bad, we don't care who is our, we don't have any more friends. Everyone is our enemy. Huh? I remember when I didn't do very well for my exams. Okay, this is, I said it before, but I think it's applied the same way. When I didn't do very well for my exams, I was so discouraged, I was shouting at my own mother. Okay, she was just coming into the room and she was just asking me certain things. I still can remember, don't disturb me lah! You know? And sometimes we can be so discouraged with our own thing that we even forget who our real friends are. Okay, so in this situation, David's men were so discouraged, were so distressed, they were so angry. Let me ask you, were they angry with David? Actually, they're not angry with David. They were angry that their wives were taken away. Their hearts, the children were taken away. And when they come, everything was burned up. They lost everything. Of course, then they must blame someone, right? Human nature, we must always blame someone. We don't blame someone. The only person we don't blame is ourselves. But we must blame someone. And so all the men point finger, David, it's your fault. You know, we got to kill you. That's what he says here in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people speak of stoning him. These are the people who said that they're going to fight for David. And now, because they themselves lost everything, they were so discouraged. David, you are the reason why all this happened. We're going to have to stone you, okay? So the Bible says David was greatly distressed. What distress has to do not only with discouragement. Distress means the stress in the heart and in the mind. Can you imagine the people that say they will be your friend suddenly turn around and say, we're going to stone you. And you know that it's not your problem. It's not your fault. So David was very distressed. And then maybe some of us may feel like that sometimes when things don't happen our way. You know, in life. By the way, can I just say this? Life is never fair. Life is never fair. We might as well get used to it. Life is never fair. You know why I say that? Because of sin. Because of sin. Let me say this. When God made Adam and Eve, was everything nice? When God made Adam and Eve, everything was good. Right? Who spoiled it? God? No. Man. And after that, the rich gets richer, the poor gets poorer, and everyone in between start fighting for whatever that's left. And that's why some people don't like life. And yeah, sadly some people choose to commit suicide. Some people choose to do other things. Life is never fair. Until Jesus Christ comes back. Because He's the Prince of Righteousness. Okay? And discouragement is something that we will face in life. But you know, as Christians, I want you to know the key thing in this passage is in verse 6. Amidst all the discouragement, I want you to notice the turning point of this whole passage. What do you think is the turning point in this whole passage? In verse 1, you see discouragement. In verse 2, you see discouragement. In verse 3, you see discouragement. In verse 4, you see discouragement. In verse 5, you see discouragement. In verse 6, you see discouragement. And the change. Can you see that? Verse 1 to 5 is discouragement. And even verse 6 towards the end is still discouragement. But what made the difference? What made the difference? David had something in him that helped change the whole situation. Does that make sense? David had something in his heart that changed the whole situation. And I want to touch on that, alright? I want to show you four things. How David changed the situation. Number one, the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number one, focus on the Lord to get strength from Him. The word encouragement, what's the meaning of encouragement, Samuel? What's the meaning of encouragement? Okay, the word encourage comes from two words, courage and end. Okay, courage, the word end has to do with adding. E-N means to add. Courage. So David add courage in the Lord. In other words, when the petrol is running low, what do? You add fuel. Okay, you add petrol. Okay? Because the opposite of encourage is discourage. This means gone. Disappear. Appear means something turn up. Disappear means something disappear. Gone. Okay? So the opposite of encourage is discouragement, but David encouraged himself. How does he encourage himself? Did he encourage himself in food? Did he encourage himself in soccer? Did he encourage himself in science? Did he encourage himself in Singapore winning the World Cup? You know, some people say, wow, you made my day, man. You give me this, whatever, you know, you made my day. You gave me this, I'm feeling down. And say, hey, let me make your day. I give you one tub of ice cream. And it's your favorite. And you kind of, that made my day. Okay. How? David had nothing to encourage him. There was no ice cream in those days. Okay. Food was scarce because the soldiers were running away. Okay, there was not much things. I mean, even his own friends was leaving him. Where is he going to find encouragement? Sure, there's no soccer at that time. When did soccer start? I don't know. Soccer started in the 1800s, I think. Well, nothing to encourage, but you know what? As a Christian, can I say this? Real encouragement comes from God. When all else fails, as a Christian, we must be able to know that we have a God that we can focus on. Because He's our friend. He is our friend. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Here the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to learn to focus on the Lord to get strength from Him when everything else fails. When everything else fails. One of the things when, I think for us in Ambassador Baptist Church, last year was, I won't say it's a terrible year, but I think it's an awakening year. When there was no people added to the church except Annalyn is one. And you know, throughout the whole thing, I was just asking God, God, why like that? Cannot be. If you're a God of miracles, if you're a God that can save souls, how come there's nothing happening? And you know what God says? Well, you need to take steps of faith. And that's when we learn to focus on God. And so we begin to put in discipleship programs, begin to pray, begin to fast and pray. You know, God begin to open doors, and God is really blessing this year. But you know what? This is just a beginning. It is just a beginning. We have 998 souls more to reach. Okay, our target is 1,000. Only had 2. But you know, it's an encouragement. But you know, we need to... You see, when the church is not going right, when our lives is not going right, don't look at the situations, look at God. Because God can make the change, okay? Focus on the Lord. When you are down in the dumps, don't look at the situations. You know why? It was the situations that made you down in the first place. So why go and look at the situations? You need to look outside of the situations, okay? Number one. Number two, notice what he did. After David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, notice the second thing he did. He sought the man of God. Look at verse number 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me thither the ephod. I want to say this. When times of discouragement, Seek the man of God. Seek the man of God. That was what David did. You know why? Because David knew Abiathar was a priest of God. Abiathar spoke on behalf of God. The purpose David sought Abiathar the priest was because David wanted to seek God. And he knew during that time the priest was able to give him the answers at that time. But you notice what he asked from the priest, okay? He asked for the ephod. The ephod is a device the priest used to seek the will of God. The ephod consisted of the Urim and the Thummim, okay? Urim and the Thummim are two things that the priest does. The Urim and Thummim apparently are the half moons. Okay, you know the half moons? In the Chinese temple today, they still use them. They actually throw, and then the moon, if the moon lands this way and this way, they'll bring this to the temple people, and they actually have a little book. They say, okay, because of this and the moon like that, this will happen to you. Okay? Where did that come from? They come from the Bible. God actually gave opportunities those times to seek the will of God. You know what David wanted to do? David wanted to seek God, but he went to the man of God. Okay? Can I say this? If you have trouble, you come to me. I can't give you the answers. I can only show you from the Bible. Because it's God's will. Okay? Not because you don't know the Bible, but maybe as pastor, I'll be able to show you some areas that you may have to look at in discerning God's will. Okay? You need to seek the man of God. Why? Because Abiathar, if you notice, for Abiathar was one of the people who escaped. There was a slaughter of all the priests of Israel. He was one of them who escaped. He was the only one to escape. And then he joined himself to David because David was a godly king. And so Abiathar joined, or he was a godly man. So Abiathar joined him, and Abiathar became the priest for David. And Abiathar loved the Lord. And David knew that. And so when David was in distress, guess what? Everyone else has left him, wanted to kill him, but not the priest. Can I say this? For myself, I believe for any under-shepherd, the heart is always for the sheep. So whenever there's a discouragement, when you feel everyone is left, please understand, your pastor has not left. Okay? And that's something that I want us to understand. Not just myself, my family, we have not left. We will not leave. Because if this is where God put us, this is where our heart is, and this is where we'll stay. Okay? And we'll do all we can to encourage you. Sometimes situations can be so discouraging, you just want to walk off. Don't do it. There are people who care. And even in Ambassador, I know there are people who care. We need to go to these people who care. Okay, so firstly, focus on the Lord when you're discouraged to get strength from Him. Number two, seek the man of God. Learn to trust the person. Number three, after he did that, notice in verse number 8. In verse 7, Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Verse 8. Then, thirdly, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Now, what David did was he dealt with the discouragement. Did you see that? The families were all taken away by the enemies, Amalekites. Okay? Do you realize that God is protecting the families? Okay, you look at verse number 2, I believe. God was protecting the families. Look at verse number 2. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any. Do you realize that's God's grace? You know what the Assyrians do to the ladies and the children? You know the Assyrians, when they came in to attack Israel, what did they do to them? They killed them. They killed the ladies, they killed the children. Of course, they killed the men. And sometimes they do terrible things to the men. They would dig out their eyes, they would gouge out their eyes. For children who were babies, they would throw the children up, and then they put the spear underneath and let the children fall into the spear. That's how cruel they are. But no, here God's grace was on the woman, because the Bible says here they slew them not, they didn't kill them. You know what I find here? Remember John Sumatra who came to our church? Okay, remember someone took the wallet. Okay, and when we found out that the wallet didn't just contain money, it contained Pastor Jason Sumatra's life savings for his ministry. I made it a personal mission to make sure I get it back. But you know, in all of that, the driving license also from the Philippines, he says it's very hard to get a replacement. If you lose it, I don't know. He says it's very hard to get a replacement driving license in the Philippines. Okay? And so he was very concerned because he has his dad's life savings, and because he was coming from the Philippines because the dad is in Thailand now. So he has to bring a debit card or something with the bank to him in order for the expenses. So he's halfway there, and here someone stole the wallet. Someone took the wallet away. And you know what happened at the end? I think we all know the person was caught. We actually recovered the wallet. He lost his money. I mean, it's about 60 pesos. I don't know. I can't remember how much. But he recovered his driving license, and he recovered the debit card, which is very important. You see, in all of that, God was actually still working. And we were praying that God would do something. Can I say this? Sometimes we worry over things that will never happen. But I believe those instances, God wants us to learn to trust Him. God wants us to learn to trust Him. Okay? Two things He did when He sought the Lord. Number one, He actually consulted the Lord. This is very important. And I want us to learn this in seeking the Lord. I'm going to go through something afterwards. How to seek God. Okay? Here, David, the first thing he did was he asked God. He actually asked God. The Bible says, "Shall I pursue after this troop?" He didn't. You know, sometimes when we pray, "Oh God, please help us." You know, God's going to ask, "What do you want me to do?" Example, if my children, you know, children, sometimes they are very scared to ask parents for things. You know what they do? They will say everything else except ask for the thing. They will say, "Well, Mama, the sweet look very nice, eh? Well, Papa, you know, I feel like doing this, eh?" So usually when my children do that, I say, "Okay, lor, go lor." Because you're not asking me. We say things all around, but we don't ask. But you know what David do? David actually went straight to God. "God, this is the source of the problem. The Amalekites have taken all our wives and our children and our sons. Shall I go and get them back?" God could have said no. Okay? But you know what God did? God says pursue. So David, number one, consulted the Lord. David was asking God to give him specific answers. David was asking God for specific answers. Do you realize sometimes when we pray and seek the Lord, we don't ask God for things. Or rather, we don't ask God specifically for things or answers specific to a situation. Should I do this? Because we come to God already with preconceived ideas. And say, "God, this is the contract. Sign on a dotted line." Okay? And we assume that that is God's will. But what David did was he said, "Lord, should I? Shall I? God, should I?" That means who actually has the authority in this situation? When David was asking God, who was the authority, himself or God? He was asking God, "God, should I?" If God said no, David would have obeyed. But of course, God said yes. Okay, very important here. When we pray, tell God the issue. In seeking the Lord, when you pray, tell God specific the issue. "Lord, you know I have to make a decision about maybe this investment. Lord, you know I have to make a decision about this thing." Then ask Him what He thinks. "Lord, what do you think?" After you have prayed that, I'll give you an example. After you have prayed that, what you do is you open the Bible and start reading. Because that's how God speaks to us. Are you listening? This is very important. I can assure you, especially your young people, you're going to make decisions in your life. And so for parents, you're making decisions for your children and for your family. When you seek the Lord, number one, make sure you identify the issue. What is the issue? Number two, put a question to it. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Okay? Number three, start reading the Bible. If you have to, you have to read, read from cover to cover. Okay, it's not there, right? The other one is something else. I can give you an example. When I was in Australia, one of the things I was thinking about is God calling me to full-time. I wasn't too sure. I had friends who told me this. I had this friend, Chris. I shared it with you before. I shared it again. This is so specific. It happened on the same day. I was telling this friend that I was on scholarship, and he says that, you know what, Johnny, you should go back and just be a therapist, and so many people need your help and things like this. That, yeah, that's a logical, good reason. Okay? But I knew that somewhere in the back of my head, God has called me, but you know, I'm not too sure. And he says, Johnny, when you go back to Singapore, there's so many people needing therapy and all that. I think you'll be able to reach out to more people, which makes sense. In fact, today, I have the opportunity to still reach out to many people because of my position as pastor, although I'm a therapist as well, working part-time. But during that time, Pastor Scott Chow, which is a man of God, which I was my pastor, turn to Luke chapter 9, okay? Luke chapter 9. He was preaching from here, okay? And it was as if God spoke to me. And so as my friend Chris was asking me that, in my mind, I wasn't too sure. I said, Lord, are you sending me? Or are you... Make it clear to me. Luke chapter 9, verse 60. My pastor was preaching on this verse. He said, let the dead bury the dead, but go down and preach the gospel. And you know what he said? The world has their doctors. I still can remember exactly what he preached in the message. He said, the world has their doctors. The world have their nurses. But who's going to preach the gospel? It's like, God, are you talking to me? Because in the morning of the service, about this friend who said, you should be an occupational therapist, you can help a lot of people. Then in the message, to me, it's like, whoa, God is so clear. That's why this is my life. This is my, if you like, ordination verse, you know, God says, let the dead bury the dead, go down and preach the gospel. The world has all these people. And you know what, this is still very true today. The world will even pay very well these people, but who will go and preach the gospel? And can you see how God actually works through the Bible? In my mind, it was a question, and during the service, God spoke, and it was so clear. And God actually said, or rather, my pastor actually said, the world has their doctors, the world have their nurses, but who's going to preach the gospel? At that time, I went out during the invitation and committed myself to the ministry, and that was, you know, that's what we need. Ask the question, ask God what He thinks, and when you go to the Bible, your mind must be totally open to the speaking of God. Okay? Must be totally open to the speaking of God. Number one, they consulted the Lord. Number two, He asked specifically. You need to, so that you can ensure that your answer is not vague. Shall I pursue or shall I not pursue? God says pursue. Okay? That's very clear. God says go. Okay? You need to ask for a sign, and this sometimes we say, Lord, I'm going to ask for a sign. And this sign happens, therefore, Jeremiah, you want to go wash your face? Wash your face. Yeah. Okay? I ask for a sign. If this happens, therefore, it's definitely God's will. Okay? I had one friend, his name is John. Okay? Not in this church, man. I'm just saying, John and Lydia also. I think Johnny and Lydia are different. So John was in the Air Force, okay? Not this one, but he was another. It's so interesting, they say, oh, this situation happened, and we pray that this will happen, therefore we got married as a result of that. I was thinking, it's like, it's a bit too fast. Okay, now they're not serving the Lord. The Christian is not serving the Lord. But you know, when we say that, I'm going to ask for a sign, if this happened, therefore. But sometimes when we give that kind of reason, it's that after the thing happened, then we say, this happened, therefore Lord must be. No, it mustn't. Many times we speak in what we call generalities. It's very general. God's will is never general. God's very specific. If you read in the Bible, God is not general. He's very specific. This is what I want you to do. This is what I don't want you to do. Does it make sense? Okay? So today, because we don't spend time seeking the Lord, we don't get answers from God. Then our life becomes very general. And so we're not too sure sometimes. So we kind of just go with the flow. I purposely put this into that. I hope you will keep this, how to seek the will of God. Okay? These are some steps you need, alright? I'll just read. You can follow along there. Did I put his name? Do you know who? Okay, let me just tell you who it is. I found this to be very, very useful. The man that wrote this was George Mueller. And we know that he is a man of prayer. And this, what he said, where to find God's will, okay? I'll read. He says, firstly, he seek at the beginning to get his heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to the given matter. That means, for example, if I'm looking for a job, and you say, Lord, I'm going to seek a job, but Lord, I'm praying with all my heart that this job is totally your will. I'm not going to have any of my personal desires in this will. Lord, you take control. You do the work. I'm going to trust you totally. I will put none of my requirements into this job, but Lord, you take. That's what Josh Mueller is saying. He says, I'll get my heart into a condition that has no will. I mean, he's totally denying himself. If you want to give me this job, if you want me to do this, then Lord, it's your will. Okay? He says 90% of the trouble with people generally is here. 90% of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. Does that make sense? 90% of the difficulties will be overcome when our hearts are totally ready to serve God. I think this is very clear. When a person says, I want to serve God, but it must be based on this condition, what will God do? Then I'll wait for you. Right? God says, unless you're ready to do what I tell you, I can't tell you anything. It's just like a soldier going to fight the war, but he will not fight according to the commander's instructions. You know what will happen? He'll kill himself and kill everyone. Because the commander knows what's the plan. Right? But as a soldier, you say, look, I'm going to fight for you, commander, but it must be on my terms. Huh? I must have chicken rice every time during lunch. Alright? When it's time to fight, I don't care, in the middle of the battle. When it's lunchtime, I stop. Which is not possible. I'm just exaggerating. But you know, many times as Christians, sometimes we serve God based on our own desires. That will not work. That will not work. Okay? So, number one, we must get our hearts to the point that you say, Lord, whatever you want. If you want me to work as a sweeper, I'll work as a sweeper. If you want me to get a pay that is so low, I'll get a pay that is so low. But open, I don't care what people say, Lord. You know, people will have a lot of saying, when I went into the ministry, my mom told me, you're so crazy, you. You could have done your master's and earned a lot more money. And in occupational therapy, you can. Okay, I've seen people earning 5 figures, okay? But you know, my mom was saying, people will have a lot of input. But what does God say? Go down and preach the gospel. I can tell you, how many of you believe in Singapore you spend money very fast? My mom always say this. $50 NTUC, only one bag. So. Right? It's true. But you know what? When you preach the gospel, when one soul is saved, you will see that soul forever. That's what it means. And so the blessing is, okay, first step, we need to get our heart to the point, Lord, whatever you will, I will do. Number one. Number two, after having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. Why? What I feel about something. Many Christians do that. This thing happened, so I think God is doing this. You know, even when I talk about the church, what God is doing, it is so obvious what God is doing. If it's a one-time thing, it's okay. You know, but you know, from January until now, God is still bringing visitors. Don't tell me God is not doing anything. It's a one-off. It's okay. I mean, then I cannot say, well, God is doing something. But you know what? I don't know about you. I believe God is still doing something. God is still doing something in our church. God is still doing something in our church. He's still answering our prayer in wonderful ways that even I also cannot understand. But I know God is moving. So, Josh Mueller says, after I seek the Lord, my heart is right, I'll do anything God wants. After that, he don't just leave the result to impressions, okay? He says, if I do that, if so, I make myself liable to great delusions. I can bluff myself. Do you realize Christians bluff themselves many times? Josh Mueller says, I'm not going to do that. What are some of the... I seek the will of the Spirit of God in connection with the Word of God. Okay? The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself to great delusions. That means I can bluff myself. Many Christians do that. It's just amazing when you talk to them, you show them this word, but they say something else. And can I say this? I may ambassador understand this. When we seek the Lord, even individually or as a church, the Holy Spirit impression and God's word must combine. If it is inconsistent, okay, look here. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word of God, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Spirit guides at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. This is very important. That's why female pastors are not God's will. But some people just don't understand that. They believe, oh, God spoke to me, therefore. But what about God's Word? Does it make sense? Any questions? It's so important because you are going to make decisions for your families. Children, as you grow up, you're going to make decisions for your career and all that. And you feel this, you feel that. But what about God's Word? Because many times God's Word is left out. Alright, in seeking God's will, you need God's Word, okay? Remember, if you don't remember anything from this camp, just remember this, okay? When you have an impression to do something, God will never move contrary to the Bible. The Bible is the final authority. God guides according to that. Okay, parents, teach your children that. Don't go by what we feel. If you go by what you feel, you always go like this. Alright? Okay, very important. After this, after I've sought, my heart is ready to do what God wants, I'm seeking God's will through the Holy Spirit and also through the Bible. The next thing He does, next I take into account the situations, providential circumstances, things that happen. This often plainly indicates God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. Can you see? George Mueller is very clear. He makes sure his heart is right first. He makes sure the next foundation is right. After that, then he looks at the circumstances. You know what Christians do today? They always look at the circumstances first. Without considering our heart and the Word. Okay? Then after he sees the things around, I ask God in prayer to reveal His Word to me aright. Thus through prayer to God, the study of the Word and reflection, He then comes to a judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more prayer, I proceed accordingly. That means after I've set my heart right, I've prayed, I look at the circumstances, I think through it, I pray again. I think through it, I pray again. And I find that if it's consistent, I'll go forward and take a step of faith. George Mueller, remember, George Mueller was one man who prayed. He started orphanages. You realize how, I was reading his biography. George Mueller was praying for God's will. Lord, do you want me to set up orphanages? Okay, I brought a DVD on his life. If you want to watch George Mueller, he's called the robber of the streets. You know why is he called the robber of the streets? During that time in England, there were many, many children who were without parents. And the children were all over the place on the roadside. And they would just eat anything. And George Mueller had a heart for them. And he was praying, God, do you want me to set up orphanages for this group of children? You know how long he prayed for? He prayed for 18 months. 18 months before he finally realized, God told him, this is what I want you to do. Even his wife didn't know that he was praying about this. Because it was between him and God. And we all know, do you realize George Mueller's orphanages are still in existence today? 150 years later. The people that are running it run on the same principle of prayer today. Okay? Can I say this? If your decision is thoroughly God's will, you will find one thing. It will last. The results will last. If you think it's your will, after a while, you'll be fighting so much. You're trying to contain everything. Alright? And the last point, very simple. As you seek the Lord, whatever God tells you after that, obey. Just obey what God tells you to do. If you say, God, should I take this job? You know one thing with Sister Sarah? She was telling me, you want to stay. So Sister Sarah, who just got baptized, she would want to stay.
But you know what? She has such a sweet spirit. Well, if God wants me in Philippines, I will stay in Philippines. If I'm not wrong, she has a heart to reach her. She has a heart to reach the Filipinos, her own family, with the gospel. Okay, but I told her that she wants to go back to her friends to tell what God has done for her. What a wonderful picture of biblical salvation. That after you've been doing all these things, bad things in the past with this group of friends, you come out, you get saved, you go back. The first thing you want to go back and tell these people that their lives can be changed. Because their lives have changed. But you know what we need to do? We need to pray. The reason why I use this as a question, that's such a sweet spirit of submission. If God wants me here, I'll be here. If God wants me there, I'll be there. I'm not going to put my will. Wherever God wants me, I'll go. And what she's doing is studying. I think we all know we gave her a discipleship booklet, about 50 lessons on. And she says she's studying it. I told her, just memorize God's word. Put your heart and follow God's word all the time. Okay, we need to be praying for her. Okay, so in times of discouragement, seek the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? In times of discouragement, look firstly to God. Number two, seek the man of God. Number three, seek God. And the steps that I actually wrote down detail for you. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure the word of God and prayer is together. Then look at the circumstances and ask God specifically, Lord, what do you want me to do? All right, and then after that, do whatever God tells you to do. If you're not too sure, can I say this? Get something or someone outside of your situation, someone you can trust to look. And whatever that person tells you, follow. Because why? There is in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay? Any questions? I hope God will help us. Okay? Remember this lesson, I can assure you, times of discouragement will come. But if you know this, at least you can apply that in your life. Alright? Okay? Now let's take some prayer requests before we pray. Okay, I hope God will encourage you. Okay? Any other prayer?